In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you may not be aware, but today in the Orthodox Church, we are celebrating the New Year. Obviously, most of us, if we were to go outside here on September 1st and to wish people a Happy New Year, would get some strange looks from people. But in fact, as I said in the Orthodox Church, today, September 1st, every year is our New Year. This comes from ancient times. It's an ancient practice in the Roman Empire. It predates even the Roman Empire. In fact, the Jews would celebrate the New Year in September as well. And the reason for that, when you have a more agrarian-based society, is because you have completed the harvest, and then in September, the whole process starts to begin over again. So it makes sense in the early church that September 1st was the New Year, not just in the church, but civilly as well. Yet even today we keep this custom, and you see it because it's reflected in the life of the church as we celebrate the feasts. We just celebrated the Dormition, the death of the Mother of God and her translation into heaven, the last major feast in the church year, and we begin the new church year then with the Feast of Her Nativity next week, our parish feast day. Talk more about that during announcements, because we have a big weekend planned. But in any case, want to make sure that you understand that this is the beginning of the church year, and the reason that we have today's reading taken from the fourth chapter of Luke, where our Lord Jesus walked into a synagogue in Nazareth and proclaimed the message of Isaiah, which of course was a prophecy about him, was speaking about him coming as the Messiah, bringing in this acceptable year of the Lord. The reason that the church places this reading here is because on the New Year, the church wants to make sure that it sets the tone for us of how we think about this coming year. And so it begins the New Year with this first time that Jesus, at least the first time that it's written about, because Luke does say that before that, Jesus had been visiting some synagogues. But it's the first time, at least, that Luke writes about where Jesus went in and he opened the book and he read about himself. And I want us to understand exactly what's going on today in this reading of Jesus and this story that we heard from St. Luke. And to do that, we have to go a little bit before today's reading, I'll talk about, and a little bit after today's reading to see the fullness, to understand the fullness of what the church is teaching us. You remember, I'm sure most of you do, that when Jesus began his public ministry, it began with the baptism, his baptism by St. John the Baptist. And then Luke recounts to us how Jesus then was taken out and he was tempted by Satan himself. One of the things that Satan did, according to Luke's gospel, is he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he promised Jesus that if he were to come to his side, to Satan's side, he would give him power over all kingdoms, all authorities, all powers, all dominions of this world. And we know, of course, that Jesus resisted that. But what I want to highlight as it relates to today's reading is that not only did Jesus resist that, but when he went away from being tempted by Satan, we hear next in the story that he went to Nazareth. Why is that important? Well, we may think it's important because it's his hometown, as Luke mentioned. And of course, that is of significance. But even more important, why this is significant, right after he had been tempted with the kingdoms of this world, is because Nazareth was a town with a bad reputation among the Jews. It was what we might call a backwater town. It was forgotten. It was a place that people wouldn't want to admit that they were from Nazareth. If you're from Nazareth, you might say, well, I'm from Galilee, the district in which it's in, because you don't want to admit that you're from Nazareth. And we will see this throughout Jesus' ministry, don't we? That he is not centered around Jerusalem. He's not centered around the authorities and powers of this world. But his teaching is the center of his being. God's teaching. Him coming from heaven. So he doesn't get his authority from the dominions and the powers of this world. His authority comes from God. And when he has the opportunity, he goes to these poor cities. He goes to places that other human beings don't want to be associated with. And at the end of his earthly life, if you remember, Luke tells us that he went out and he ascended into heaven in Bethany, which is the house of the poor. So the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he goes to Nazareth, this town that had a bad reputation. At the end of his ministry, he's in the house of the poor. This is the life that Jesus teaches us to live. Then we hear in today's reading where Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah, and he speaks about his mission. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You see, brothers and sisters, so often we miss the main point of the gospel, which Jesus tells us he was sent to do, to preach the good news to the poor, to release the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And so often, the gospel that we preach, brothers and sisters, is not the gospel of this Jesus Christ, but the gospel of the Pharisees. The gospel of how many times did we come to church this week or this month? The gospel of how well we did our fast. The gospel of our prayer rule at home. And all of these the church has given us as tools. Nobody's saying that they're bad at all. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that they are tools. They are means to an end. They're not an end in and of themselves. The end is that we would follow what Jesus came to do. To preach good news to the poor, to release the captives, to liberate the oppressed, to give voice to those who are voiceless. And we heard at the end of today's reading, sounds very nice the way we ended. All spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Wonderful. The people loved it, didn't they? No, you keep reading on. I mean, not just the crucifixion, much later, many chapters later. But the next verses, Jesus confronts his own people, his own fellow religious Jews in the synagogue. And he calls out their self-righteousness and he talks about how they will reject him because he takes the message of good news to the poor and the outsiders, the non-Jews. He takes it to the Gentiles. And so it ends. Chapter 4 ends with Jesus being kicked out of their synagogue and they're wanting to throw him off the cliff. So brothers and sisters, the message the church gives us today is very clear. That we are to be like Jesus Christ and we are to do what he was sent to do. That's why we take his name and we're called Christians. We're to follow him. And all of these things that we do here as part of our church life throughout the year, the prayers, the fastings, the confessions, all of this is done so that when we leave here, when we leave this building, we would go out and we would take care of the poor and the oppressed, that we would set free those who are held captive. And if we instead are like those people in the synagogue in Nazareth where Jesus preached, are too worried about ourselves and our own self-righteousness and can't hear the gospel, then we too will kick Jesus out of our midst. The church invites us today, brothers and sisters, on this new year to examine our lives and to think about how we will live in this coming church calendar year. It invites us to accept Jesus and his message as part of our being, as part of our way of life. My prayer is that each and every one of us would do that to the glory of his name, together with that of his Father and Holy Spirit, unto the ages of ages. Amen. Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will teach them the word.